to ORS 244.260, sub 4, sub B, and ORS 192.685, sub 1. So at this point, see, the first item...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The first item relates to Mr. Bruce Connor, so anyone who's... Oh, clear the room first. Okay. I was going to ask everyone to leave who was not Bruce Connor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay.
I look forward to it.
I do, too.
Me, too.
Are we looking for...
By the time I get here, my breakfast is long ago.
Okay, we're in.
Which one are we starting?
Just in the order? Yeah, we'll just take order. Does anybody need a bio break before we go forward? Yes?
A couple minutes.
Okay, let's do a 5-minute break. We're in recess. So I think the gang is all here. With that being the case, we'll bring the executive session out of recess. And the first item is number 48, the matter of S. Bruce Connor. Is Mr. Connor here? I don't have the... Oh, there he is, down there. Thank you for coming today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yep, I want to make it very clear today that today we're going to be considering the preliminary review, and whatever is decided today doesn't mean that you've done anything or haven't done anything. It's just whether or not to proceed. And so with that, I believe the first thing we'll do is go to a staff report on this item.
Okay. Commissioner Burke, Chair Burke, Commissioner.
Yes.
This is Haley Whedon, who's I was the investigator on this complaint, preliminary review report. This complaint against Mr. Bruce Connor, who is the cruise industry marketing director for the Port of Astoria. In addition to holding his position as the cruise industry marketing director for the port, Mr. Connor also owns his own private tour excursion business, and it's called Sundial Tours.
Mm-hmm.
This complaint was filed by actually an attorney for a competing tour excursion business. The complaint alleges that Mr. Connor may have violated prohibited use of office and conflict of interest provisions by taking actions in his official capacity, in his position with the port, that would or could have financially affected himself or his private business, Sundial Tours. Specifically, the allegation is that Mr. Connor may have done things in his capacity as the port's cruise industry marketing director to financially benefit Sundial. Sorry, I'm just reading this. Maybe I shouldn't read it so directly. By encouraging or assisting in developing policies that would effectively, that could effectively exclude or work to the benefit of Sundial at the expense of other tour excursion operators. So, if this information sounds familiar to any of you, it's because a similar complaint was previously filed against Mr. Connor. In that complaint, the commission dismissed during preliminary review. And the complaint before you now has essentially been filed as a new and different complaint, which is, allowable under Oregon Government Ethics Law, where the new complaint includes new and relevant information that the original complaint did not. So with reference to that, the commission's decision to dismissed the original complaint during the executive session when that preliminary review report was heard, was based in part on what Mr. Connor told the commission during that meeting. Among those things, Mr. Connor told the commission that he does not play a role in contracting on behalf of the port. He told the commission that he does not communicate with cruise line personnel who are responsible for contracting private tours when acting on behalf of the port. And also told the commission that he does not play a decision-making role on behalf of the port. The new information, which was an email that was provided with the complaint, indicates that while he was acting in his official capacity on behalf of the port, Mr. Connor has played a role in port contracts and that he has directly communicated with cruise line personnel who are responsible for contracting private tour companies like Sundial. this April 24th, 2017 email, which is also available in the report on page 3, in the book on page 303 of your book. The email is from Mr. Connor to Holland America Cruise Lines Shore Excursion Manager. It also appears to suggest that Mr. Connor has played an official role in forming policies and provisions to be included in the port's tour operator contracts, which are signed by him as the owner of Sundial and other tour operators that want to operate at the port. Information in another email indicates that Mr. Connor has had at least one contract with Norwegian Cruise Lines to serve as the sole and exclusive tour excursion provider at that port. And that point was noteworthy because the port requires tour operators to sign tour operator agreements. And while earlier tour operator agreements were simpler, like one-page contracts, by the way, those agreements are what's attached to the end of the report. The tour operator agreements for 2014, 2015, 2016 were all short, one page. In 2017, they were quite a bit longer and more restrictive. They added a Section 6 that basically states that tour companies that can't maintain a contract, like a one-on-one contract with a cruise line, will have to pay the port 20% for any sales that they do with that cruise ship's passengers. So the Section 6 of these new contracts is something that's noteworthy also because, again, the port began having that Section 6 in the contracts as of 2017. And based on the information that I have so far, it looks like Mr. Connor's private business, Sundial, was the only tour operator operating out of the port before 2015. In 2015, the person who filed this complaint, the owner of Lord's Tours, began operating at the port. The port had her sign the short, kind of simple one-page contract for her first year of operating for the 2015-2016 year. So then the following year, the port came out with these much longer tour operator agreement contracts that they did in 2017. And again, Lewis Tours didn't have any one-on-one contracts, certainly didn't have any exclusive contracts with cruise ship lines. So I guess effectively it looks like these newer tour operator agreements that they've been doing since 2017 could work at a disproportionate advantage to Mr. Connor's business, Sundial. So I realize this is all really complex. I think it took me hours and hours of actually looking at this information, and there was so much. There were actually 18 exhibits attached to the report, and those are just individual exhibits all being multi-page documents. So I'm having a little bit of a hard time explaining it. You guys might have a ton of questions, and if you do, please feel free to ask. But the report is in your meeting booklet the recommendation to move to investigate possible violations of conflicts of interest and prohibited use of office. And Mr. Connor is also available to answer your questions. I'm sorry, and I forgot, yesterday afternoon, in response to the preliminary review report and after reading it, Mr. Connor did submit some additional documentation, which were in your places whenever you sat down today. Two of those are Norwegian Cruise Lines contracts, and one of them is a conflict of interest policy by the Port of Astoria. I haven't had an opportunity to review those yet.
Okay, very good. Before we go to Mr. Connor, we'll see if commissioners have any questions of our investigator. Commissioner Mason.
I guess this is more of a statement, but for the investigator, I mean, it sounds like, this one email alone, the port executive director, Jim Knight, basically stated that he had no memory of providing the full any conflict of interest disclosures, and it seems like, you know, you would, in your investigation, you would look to see if there was any type of, if he provided anything. But he's stating it right there. I would think that we would have to move to investigate just based on that statement alone. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
I mean, you don't have to do anything, of course.
No, I mean, that's the obvious
it's
one.
Certainly, right? It's certainly one of the reasons I'm recommending to investigate, yes, absolutely.
Okay, additional questions? Okay, Mr. Connor, would you like to address the commission?
Sure, and thank you very much again for the opportunity to kind of explain and give. I think the last time I was here, I quoted Dr. Field. No matter how flat you make a pancake, there's two sides. And so my emails, those two emails, and here I just want to specifically address those two emails and how they're interpreted by the attorney and what was my intention. So I'm going to start with the first email. This has come from Norwegian Cruise Lines. This is a staff inventory manager who sent an email unbeknownst to myself to Lori, and she was inquiring, the tour operator, she was inquiring to be able to participate and sell tours, which you're certainly allowed to do. And I don't know why she responded with the email suggesting that I had an exclusive with Sundial Travel. So what I have here before me, this took me a while to get because I had to get legal with Norwegian Cruise Lines to okay me sharing this information with you guys. So I brought you, I think did you get them all? But you have the Norwegian Cruise Lines contract, 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017. Nowhere does it show I've ever had an exclusive contract. I've never been able to have an exclusive. I haven't even asked for an exclusive contract. They just don't do that for any cruise lines. And I'm happy to share all the cruise lines. So where this came about, why she wrote that, I'm confounded. I know Michelle Morga. I don't know what was the purpose for her to tell her that, but I don't blame Royster or the attorney looking at that, or you guys, and be suspicious that I had that. So that's the best way I can explain that. But I have proof that I do not have an exclusive contract, nor did I ever have an exclusive contract. So I just needed to make that clear and articulate that to you guys. The letter that I wrote to, was on behalf of me to Jennifer Miller, and actually she's Princess Cruise Lines. It says Holland, but they're two of the same. My goal there was to find out what their policy, and can I share that policy when other operators operate without provide tours to passengers that are not sold on board. What they do in many areas is they'll have a separate place for you to do that. They can't stop that. It just has grown since 2015, 2014, 2013 because of the internet. People are now going directly to tour operators, and that's happening in our community, and that's just fine. That has no problem. Nobody wants to stop that. The cruise lines aren't happy about it, but they realize they can't stop that. It's just the way of the world. So what they want to do is maintain their dock space that they have. So all that was for was to address the motor coach companies who called me, who do a lot of business. Say, Bruce, I'm coming down. I just got a call for the ship coming in 2 months, and they have 20 family members, and they want to charter one of our buses. What do we do? I said, well, you have to talk to the port about that. That's what changed this policy back in 2015. This is now happening. If I don't get a call once a day, I just refer them to the port. But this is why this started. So I wanted to send that to all the motor coach companies. This is the cruise line policy. When they call you, the people, the family members or whoever, call you to charter a bus, and typically it comes from Portland, has to go all the way down Astoria, and so they're just trying to make it a smooth for the passengers. It's all about the passengers. And so that intent for that email was to give to all the bus companies and say, this is it. So, and then she never answered me. There's some confidentiality, so I had nothing. She didn't send anything to me. She's a friend of mine, and I don't know why. I asked a couple of cruise lines with their policies, and they just articulated it. Anyway, so I don't have that a response to the email. But anyway, that was the purpose of the email, and I listed the port in there, and I tried to demonstrate that the port of Astoria is sensitive about your onboard revenue. I didn't want to write it saying that we're going to let we have this situation, we're going to endorse it. No, I never got an answer, and that was that email. That was the purpose of the email. So that's, and I think it's interpreted that I was doing it on behalf of the port, but that was not the intention. The letter from the, you saw the letter from the port, which you just referred to, and that's, I've really, really tried hard not to, I've been very successful to not participate in that policy. For me today, I'm really glad that you had suggested that this is an investigation, Bruce, and when I said last time, if I am doing something wrong, this is really to be new. It's a unique situation for me to be what I do. I need to continue doing this because it's growing and it's healthy for the community. And so I am eager to find out what direction I need to take, what have I done wrong. And so that's the purpose for me listening and help me do the right thing. And I think we have a non-compete clause now that, not non-compete, we have the conflict of interest. So I just used it the other day. I'll give you an example of what I do. The county of Clatsop has an art commission. The art commission is interested in providing shore excursions. And they want my help to help design it so they can sell it to the passengers on the ship. There's a fund to the Calcutta to help our art go. And I filled out the forms, had it in there, and I did give the speech, and I told them how they call, contact Cruise Line. There's more than one tour operator. You don't have to use me. So I am trying to be very sensitive in defining what I do and being careful.
Okay. Is that all?
I think just the two things that I've read through here, just the how they're interpreted. I want you to know where it's coming from, and I have two letters stating that number one, I've never had an exclusive contract with any cruise line, and number two, I was not involved in creating this policy that was done by another paralegal.
Okay. Thank you. Very well. If there's nothing else, I think some commissioners have some questions for you.
Okay.
And I have so far Commissioner Sugar and Commissioner O'Day. So Commissioner Sugar.
Thank you. Mr. Connor, I want to thank you for coming and speaking to us in person for a second time. I remember you when you came last time, and I remembered this situation. I also want to thank Ms. Whedon for working through all of the materials here. It is a complex set of circumstances. I think my inclination today, and I want to make sure that I share this with Mr. Connor, is that we should investigate this, and the reason is that this is the second time someone has complained about the situation, and I think it would be helpful. Like you said, to sort of sort it out. And if there is more that we can help facilitate in terms of being upfront and on the table and clear about what conflicts of interest exist and how the various players in this community should conduct themselves, then I think it could potentially result in improving relationships. And maybe we wouldn't get another complaint. So I understand, and my inclination is to take Mr. Connor at his word, but I also think there's some value in having the commission involved here. And so with that, I just wanted to share that's going to be where I'll be landing.
And I really, really appreciate that. And I mean, this is what this is all about. I mean, transparency and the investigation, I'm not nervous about that at all. I encourage it. But I'm going to tell you the complaint is by the very same person who also contacted Senator Johnson. She contacted the state treasurer for some reason. It's a chamber of commerce. It's the same. So what it's coming down to, be honest with you, she needs to sign a contract with the port, and she just doesn't want to do that. And so that's kind of, and I'm the bad guy because of that. So, I mean, I understand it. It makes clear this is the same complaint, same person. It's not other people because I'm running around doing crazy things. And so that, I think that's important to say. Thanks, though. I really appreciate your honesty. Thank you.
Commissioner O'Day.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate where Commissioner Sugar is coming from.
in bringing forward some transparency to this issue, but I also think economy of resources is important too, and that's what's hanging in the balance for me. I can see that you know, this is indeed a very complex factual circumstance, and compliment staff for doing the work that they've done. As I understand it, in simple terms, which I realize could, you know, be an oversimplification, that the allegation is that Mr. Connor prepared a policy that would benefit his private business. Is that essentially it? Did I get that right?
I think the more general allegation, I mean, I think that's part of it, and then the more general allegation is that he's essentially been doing other things and is developing this policy and participating in potentially other policy decisions or having communications with cruise line personnel in his official capacity that could affect him personally in his business.
The reason why I ask that is that, you see, we've got a letter from the port executive director dated March 6th, which was after the report was prepared. And my question is, with this information, would it change your recommendation to investigate, where the executive director says Mr. Connor was not involved in the preparation of the policy, there's no exclusive agreements that the port is aware of between Mr. Connor and the cruise industry?
I guess I would say I don't think so, just for the very fact that, like, even if he didn't have anything to do with the creation of the policy itself, it is the port's policy now, and this protection of onboard revenue policy that the port supports does have a financial effect, or at least very reasonably could financially affect Mr. Connor's business. And he does send at least one email, which is from his personal email account, but really has more of a tone that he is presenting himself in an official capacity, asking questions in relation to that policy, which to me still sounds like a conflict of interest, even if the director of the port doesn't think that there was.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Further questions, comments?
That's not you.
Okay.
Me on the chair.
Oh, yeah. Do you have a question or comment?
I just wanted to supplement that response a little bit. As Mr. Connor points out, there was an earlier complaint, and so this would have to be a new and different complaint. And what this is getting at is when Mr. Connor was here, maybe he misunderstood the question, I don't know. He was asked whether he ever communicates with these shore excursion teams, and he said no. And then we got this email, which is talking about the port's policy, and he's clearly speaking in an official, or sure looks that way here. So this is new information, and that for the economy, that the investigation would focus on whether this communication and doing this, he had a conflict and there was a benefit that he could derive from that. It wouldn't be broad, like all the stuff, it would be very focused on that, and maybe on whether the policy, maybe the letter from the port, maybe that is going to be good enough for the policy, but this particular email and whether there was a benefit and should have been a conflict disclosure.
Thank you.
Commissioner Keene.
But I do communicate with both, because I have to talk to the charter cruising folks, but my job at the port is a separate team of people. Those are the operations and the planning and those types of things. You know, that's my challenge, is to be very clear. And when I communicate that, I'm speaking. So I guess that's why I'm here, to just kind of help me get that clear. And I'm certainly, what landmines are out there that I need to be aware of in the future. So I'm really appreciate this input, and I'm listening.
Very good. Commissioner King.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Connor, I just wanted to also reiterate that if we do move on to investigate, and if there is found to be a violation of the conflict of interest, one of our, as you may have picked up, you were here earlier, one of our main tools is education, and we often issue a letter of education if we have found a violation. So, and that often comes up when there are complex facts or complex application of a lot of the facts. So I just want to let you sort of give you a blueprint for how this often goes. If we move into investigation and we do find a violation, if the circumstances
merit it, often the result of that is that we issue a letter of education, which really just helps clarify what people should do in the future.
But I guess I got to hear, and I appreciate that, and I welcome that, actually. Over the past few years going through this, my reputation has been tainted because of this, and which was it's very frustrating, and it makes me feel bad. And, you know, when anybody calls you a bad person for something, you know, didn't do it, whatever. And it's bothering me, and that if it goes through investigation, I understand that now that will get into the paper, and this will continue to push that, and I've tried very hard. So I just need to tell somebody that. Sorry, I can't turn this off.
Yes.
And can I follow up?
Yeah, of course.
I wanted to ask our legal counsel, since this is by the same complainant, mm-hmm. With basically the same facts except one or two new facts, what is our standard for, you know, reopening questions that we have already ruled on?
And I couldn't find any because I did, obviously, yeah. I looked at that new and different, and maybe Director Burson can speak to that. My thought on this is that one of the questions that was directly asked to Mr. Connor was whether he communicated with his excursion teams, and that was one of the bases for which the preliminary review didn't go forward to investigation. And then this email suggests that that is not necessarily the case, and that this is new. It is something that you did not really decide, conduct you did not decide about before, that you should, and in my opinion, you know, potentially is a conflict, so that we would go forward. But I didn't find anything that established standards for what's new and different. I don't know if you have done this before.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't under the same circumstances. But we thought when this complaint came in, by, like I said, they actually went out and listened to the executive session and then came out and produced documents in contrast to what was said during the executive session. So that's why we go.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions for Mr. Connor? Commissioner Fiskin.
Mr. Chair, I just want to say a couple things for the record. If I'm repeating my colleague says, so be it. One, thank you, Mr. Connor, for being here twice. I think that's one thing that we value is the chance for the kind of interaction we've had today. Secondly, thank you for your willingness to participate with us. Thirdly, my frustration often when we move into investigations is that my sometimes current and former friends in the media write that as if it's a decision that we've made to find somebody, quote, guilty, unquote, of something. And to underscore our chair's point, if we move ahead on this, which is yet to be decided, mm-hmm. that for us is a process point as opposed to a decision that anything has happened either way. That's a hard point for the local press and the Daily Historian, for example, to probably understand. I used to work there, so I'll go talk to them. But that's a frustration for me always in your situation and many others that come before us. Enough said. Mm-hmm.
We are not Columbo. Yes, Commissioner Mason.
I will say, you know, I'm sympathetic to you and your situation. And I'm probably the first one to advocate to dismiss a complaint because of, you know, what it can do to you in the community if it's a frivolous complaint. But I think that what Commissioner should have brought up a great point. This can bring clarity to your community. And frankly, by going through this and either truly exonerating you or at least, you know, providing a level of education, and hopefully, because if we dismiss this now, I mean, who's to say it doesn't come back in a different form in a couple of months?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's probably I'll be supporting to move forward with the staff recommendation. And I think that, you know, that would be the way, you know, as a public official, you should be viewing it as is, this is going to be a benefit to the community, bring clarity, and, you know, hopefully that'll finish the issue.
Mm-hmm. Additional questions, Mr.
Chair? I'll move approval of the staff recommendation on item number 48 involving S. Bruce Connor and the Port of Astoria.
Okay, very good. Commissioner Fiskum has moved that we approve staff recommendation on the matter of S. Bruce Connor to initiate a full investigation. And I guess we will go to, discussion, yes. Is there additional? We've had some already. Is there more discussion? Okay, without discussion, we'll go to a roll call vote.
Mr. Sir.
Aye.
Mr. Edwards.
Aye.
Mr. Fisdom.
Aye.
Mr. Keene.
Aye.
Mr. Mason.
Aye.
Mr. O'Day.
Aye.
Mr. Sugar.
Aye.
Mr. Sosa.
Aye.
Chair Brewer.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much, Mr. Connor.
Thank you.
Our staff will be in touch. And have a safe trip back to Astoria.
There's snow on the mountain. It took 2 hours to go over the mountain.
Please be careful.
All right, I'll just stand by. Yeah.
Very good. Okay, so
the next person here.
Yeah, that's my question.
Really appreciate you.
I don't have the sheet in front of me.
Can we have the sign-in sheet, please?
Need to see who's next.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who's here?
Oh, she's getting my
number.
I know that...
D-Lo's here for somebody.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I forgot to take that back. There's someone here for the right.
Okay.
So,
Dan Johnson?
What's that? He's next.
Have a seat right here.
I'm Mr. Johnson?
Yes, I am.
Very good. Okay. So the next item on the agenda will be item number 49. The matter of Dan Johnson, who's the director of the Clackamas County Department of Transportation and Development. Yes.
Do we want that on?
I have that on, sir. I have a photo of the
security.
So we're going to use this?
I'm just
calling
it.
Okay, very good.
Okay. I'll let you know if you need to turn around.
Okay.
Who's driving this?
Well, I know it's got antennas coming out of my head.
I'll let you know.
Okay. Mr. Johnson, I want to thank you very much for coming here today. I want to make it very clear that what we are deliberating here is not whether or not you have committed violations, but whether or not to proceed with the investigation as to whether there have been violations committed.
Okay.
So please bear that in mind. And what we'll do is we will have a staff report. Commissioners will be given the opportunity to ask questions of staff. Then, if you wish, you can say whatever you'd like. Commissioners will then be free to ask you questions, and then we'll go into discussion. Some kind of motion will be made, and then action will be taken subsequent to that.
If possible, I would ask for like 3 or 4 minutes to possibly make a statement.
No problem. And so we'll begin with the staff report. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Burke, Commissioners, Investigator Susan Myers. This preliminary review involves allegations that Dan Johnson, the director of the Clackamas County Department of Transportation and Development, may have violated the gift clause by accepting the gift of a wall sculpture from an employee he supervised and to whom he later gave a raise. Mr. Johnson acknowledges that he received the wall sculpture from Deidre Landon and that he is her supervisor. He explains that at the time she offered to make the sculpture, he paid $10 to $20 towards supplemental supplies, which were in addition to the remnants and other materials she already had. After receiving the complaint, he did price out what the other materials would have cost on the Home Depot website, coming up with a total cost of $45. He also explained that Ms. Landon's subsequent raise resulted from the county's pay equity analysis. ORS 244025 provides that a public official may not accept a solicit or receive a gift with an aggregate value in excess of $50 from a source with a legislative or administrative interest. As an employee who supervises and participates in giving a raise to Ms. Landon is an employee with a legislative and administrative interest. The administrative rules advise that to calculate aggregate value, one looks at the fair market value of the item in the marketplace, not the cost of its component materials. In this case, Mr. Johnson's ex post facto calculation of supply costs fails to account for the value of Ms. Landon's time and effort and does not reflect what it would cost him to buy a similar sculpture in the marketplace. Using the photograph of the wall sculpture that was provided by the complainant, we conducted a Google images search and had identified similar sculptures for sale on Etsy. The marketplace price ranged from a low of $129 to over $700. Because the photographs, the black and white copy that I was able to provide in your meeting books is probably not the best I do have here a better visualization, if you wish to turn around, Chair, of the sculpture that Ms. Landon made. This is approximately 3 feet wide by 4.5 feet tall. So this is the sculpture that was given to him. And then I also have photographs of the comparables that I was able to locate on Etsy. This is one for sale for $129, $350. So.
But you said it's $45 to make that.
$45 in terms of buying wood, paint, and acrylic and glue.
Pretty impressive.
She is quite talented. So.
Okay, is that your report?
So our recommendation is that the matter be moved to investigation. We would attempt to further determine fair market value and.
Okay, thank you very much for that report. Are there questions of our investigator? Yes, Commissioner Sugar.
Thank you. To your knowledge, has Ms. Landon ever sold one of her pieces of art?
I did, with his permission, in terms of the confidentiality, I did interview Ms. Landon. She has not sold any artwork. She does have pictures of her various materials, projects up on Pinterest. She has given them to other employees in the department, but she has not sold them herself.
Okay, thank you. I have no other questions.
Okay, additional questions for staff.
And the complainant is a former employee?
The complainant is a former employee who I understand may have retired.
That's correct.
May have what?
Retired.
May have retired. Additional questions? Okay, seeing none, Mr. Johnson, whatever you'd like to present us with.
My apologies. In the interest of time, I'm going to read directly from the script. I usually hate to do this. I'm an eye contact guy, but in the interest of time, I'm going to proceed. Members of the commission, my name is Dan Johnson. I'm the director of the Department of Transportation and Development for Clackamas County. First and foremost, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be a part of these proceedings and provide a response to the preliminary review findings presented before you today. Knowing your desire to keep these proceedings on schedule and keeping my testimony as brief as possible, I would like to highlight that the written record contains my letter dated February 1st, 2019, related to the complaint filed with the commission by Diane Gissel, dated January 23rd, 2019. For the record, she has retired from our office. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have concerning this information at the conclusion of my testimony. In response to the preliminary review summary, I offer the following points for your consideration. As a reminder, the craft in question, actually I'm going to skip all that because you showed the picture. My February 1st, 2019 comments assumed the highest value, as in new items, for the scraps used for this craft. Point I want to clarify is it did not seem to be reflected in the preliminary review. As noted in the preliminary review by staff, a gift is defined as something of economic value given to a public official without valuable consideration of equivalent value and which is not extended to others on the same terms and conditions to others who are not public officials. A particular relevance to the circumstances before you today is a discussion on value and whether or not there is an extension of these craft services on the same terms and conditions to others who are not public officials. As to value, page 6, lines 1 and 2 of the preliminary review states it appears that Dan Johnson did not attempt to calculate the value of the gift when it was offered. I'd like to affirm to you here today that I did try to value the craft, definitely did not find anything that would indicate a value as suggested. That was new to me, my apologies. The valuation at the time was done at my insistence in an effort to be mindful of even a possible ethics issue, although it did not seem applicable to me at the time. Ms. Landon, when asked, said zero. I insisted on some degree of payment to avoid even the appearance of impropriety, or so I thought. In regards to materials, from discussions from Ms. Landon prior to acceptance of the gift, materials fell into one of two categories, purchased or scrap bound for a local recycling center. As to those items purchased, in my February 1st comments, I did provide for the investigator a summary of those items purchased and provided a current cost estimate for those items. This information was included to provide some correlation to how an estimate of an amount of funds I provided to Ms. Landon was reached. For those items that were scrapped, I made the assumption that these had little or no value. As noted in the investigative report, these materials consisted of scrap, not reclaimed wood comprised of varying lengths, and residual paint destined for recycling. The preliminary report assigns the value as new items. Affirming, I did not consider the time it took to assemble the craft, though in discussions with Ms. Landon, she did inform me the piece took less than 3 hours to construct. I'm assuming you affirm the payment of funds for the purchased items and little or no value to the residual wood bound for recycling at a $15 rate and 3 hours of work, the craft would still be valued at less than $50 per statute. I agree that this is somewhat in retrospect, but I did not believe this was the type of item only being offered to me. At the time, I still asserted that the item has little economic value and value, and my $20 payment for it was offered to avoid even the appearance of impropriety. But more importantly, in my views, the proposed findings in the preliminary review that these craft services were not extended to others in the same terms and conditions who are not public officials is a concern. Specifically on page 5, lines 6 and 7 of the review, staff states it has economic value and it was not offered to others in the same terms and conditions. It is a craft, one of a number made for various individuals. Some are members of our staff, while others are not. None would be defined as public officials or have any administrative interest. None have paid Ms. Landon. Seeking to define whether or not something has been offered to others on the same terms and conditions as limited to that exact item when it was part of a pattern or action, I believe may be inconsistent with the plain reading of the statute. Ms. Landon makes crafts from scraps, gives them to many people in the office. They are offered in the same terms and conditions as they were offered to me. In the presence of this commission, I will acknowledge that I did consider categorizing this gift, this craft as a gift to the office during my initial response, as its spirit captures the soul of our work on the development side of our department, and it would have been appropriate to leave it for the benefit of our department. Having said that, it was important to acknowledge the payment of funds, as previously discussed, and my awareness of the ethical standards you are here today to ensure. While you may find that I made an error in calculating the value of this craft or the interpretation of the definition of gift, there is something more troublesome, which is implied. I know that Ms. Landon, a valued member of our staff and an exemplary county employee, in her role as a senior administrative services manager, she has continued to focus on ensuring the highest of fiscal standards for our programs. She has shown a willingness to tackle new challenges and with the same project to justify a raise. Pardon me. I resent the implication that she required a small scrap wood craft project to justify a raise. I stand here today to make clear in no way did she do anything inappropriate or was anything less than incredibly deserving of every review and raise that has come her way. Lastly, I would like to acknowledge Susan Myers. I would, the investigator, let's speak for her case. While the review did not come out the way I would have hoped, I appreciated her approach and willingness to educate me about these procedures in a courteous and professional manner. So with that, I stand here before you today to answer any questions you may have.
Very good. Excuse me. Does anyone have any questions? Yes, Commissioner Mason.
Commissioner O'Day was up first, so
Okay. Commissioner O'Day.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson, thank you for being here today, and thank you for your statement. You touched on a few matters that I wanted to probe with you. First, thank you for the care that you showed when you received the gift and being mindful of Oregon's ethics laws and doing the analysis. And I can appreciate the difference of opinion here as to how we determine value. So that may be what warrants us going a little bit further. But my question, and you touched on it towards the end, was what was your intent or what is your intent with this particular piece when you leave employment or retire from the county? Is this something you plan on taking with you? Or would you leave it behind, as you noted in both your statement and this letter, that it is a piece that models sustainable practices resonating within the sustainability and solid waste programs within your department? And in that regard, you know, maybe something that would be appropriate to leave for future employees to enjoy.
If you look at the piece again, one of the things that makes it different from the pieces that are the examples brought before you today, first of all, that's an amazing backlighting job. The pieces are, one, they are not customized in regards to the custom cuts and adjustments to the pieces. They are simply scrap wood taken from a pile, and they have a larger size to it. Based on that and the size and the scope and the scale of it, my assumption and probably desire would be to leave it with the organization. That came up during discussions I've had. I can't imagine it fitting anywhere within a residence. It's got some size and girth to it. And in all honesty, and as I said, as a part of the February submittal, it echoes some of the values and goals and objectives of our organization. We have a sustainability department within our organization, which looks at recycling and wood reduction and waste reduction. And I think it is an excellent kind of visualization of the work that we do on the development side and our desire to reduce those materials going back into the waste stream.
Thank you.
Okay, Commissioner Mason.
Your statement was exhaustively long.
Sorry, my apologies.
Which is incredible, because thank you for being here, because yeah. You know, we've seen people treat other manners that were much more maybe dollars that were on the table, a lot more less serious than what you just did. So that's impressive. I'm going to make a motion to dismiss this based on everything that we've heard, and I think that he is treated, like Commissioner O'Day just said, thoughtfully in once the gift was received, in exactly, I think, the way you want to. And the only technicality was that it's actually valued at more than the materials, which is kind of, probably a shock to most of us. So that would be...
Okay, there's a motion on the floor to dismiss this matter. With the motion, we'll go to discussion. Who's next? Commissioner Keene.
Thank you, Commissioner Chair, and I'd like to thank Commissioner Mason, because I was going to make that same motion. I do not believe that this case is what our Ethics Act is about at all. I also find no evidence that the employee's raise had anything to do with it other than timing. And I also know that the Pay Equity Act is forcing all of us to relook at everybody's salaries. So I find that completely understandable. I would like to thank our investigator for her thorough work on it. But really, Mr. Johnson, thank you for everything you've done. You've gone far beyond what most public officials even know about the Ethics Act. I appreciate that you gave her money to buy some of the paint, et cetera, and that you offered to pay her, and she valued it at zero, which I think we should take her at her word. I think it's a nice piece, and I think it's nice of you to display her work in the office and encourage her. Clearly she likes to do crafts. I just don't think this is what our Ethics Act is about, and I think if she had put on there "to a great boss," we would have said it's a token of appreciation, and it's into the exception that says resale value is less than 25, because I can't imagine, I guess people on Etsy do resell things, but I don't think that secondary buyers do that all that much, and especially if it's a big thing and it costs a lot to ship. Anyway, for a number of reasons, I think that you acted completely ethically and within the scope of the Ethics Act and the spirit of the Ethics Act. And in fact, your actions, I think, could educate many, and I'm sure they have in Clackamas County, and I'm sorry that you've had to be under this spotlight. So I will be voting yes, aye on the motion.
Additional comments on the motion? Commissioner Sugar, and then Commissioner Fiskin.
I would like to echo the comments of my fellow commissioners. I have seen works of art that this is copying in galleries in Santa Fe, New Mexico, that are quite stunning and expensive. But if I were to sit down in my kitchen or in my garage and try to copy a Picasso, it still wouldn't be worth what the Picasso is worth. And I think that is instructive for us today, and but I also share all of the other comments. I adopt those as well. I'll be joining the motion.
Well, maybe your painting work will be appreciated more.
I don't think so. That's
my possibly.
Commissioner Fisher, could share briefly and I'll just underline two things. One, thanks to our staff, Ms. Myers, for work here on an issue that I don't think in the end belongs before us. Mr. Johnson, thank you for the way you've handled yourself today as well as in advance of today. There are lessons that should be learned by others who have reason to appear before us. So thank you very much for your time and patience. I'll vote yes on the motion for the moment.
I hope to never be a part of you again, just to make sure.
One of the great things about this country is that if you take two things that have never been nailed together before and you nail them together, somebody will buy it someplace. And but apart from that, I can't add to anything that's been said here. I will be supporting the motion to dismiss as well.
Is there a question?
Yeah, okay. So if there's no more discussion, we'll go directly to a roll call vote. Okay.
Mr. Sugar?
Aye.
Mr. Sosa?
Aye.
Mr. Starr?
Aye.
Mr. Edwards?
Aye.
Mr. Piskum?
Aye.
Mr. Keene?
Aye.
Mr. Mason?
Aye.
Mr. O'Day?
Aye.
Chair Berg?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate the work that you do.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Okay. So, let's see. Who else is here today? Yeah, it looks like...
There's at least one here for executive.
Jim Bernard and Steve.
Yeah, Bernard and open session. It's open session.
John DiLorenzo is here for executive session.
Did
you all sign up?
DiLorenzo. Where's DiLorenzo?
Right there.
Mike Gunter.
Mr. Bowie is here. Are we still staying in executive session?
Yeah, we're going to
John DiLorenzo wanted to appear at the proper moment in the executive session.
Okay.
Do you know who
DiLorenzo
is here for?
Yeah,
it's Mike Gunter. Yeah, so is it object if we go to Mike Gunter?
Well, James.
No, we're going to stay in it. That's still an executive session.
I am.
We're still in
James Coley's here.
That's what I am.
James Coley's here, so we should go to James Coley. All right, let's ask James Coley to come in then.
He's right here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we're still roughly in order of that, so that's good. Thank you for coming, Mr. Coley. Have I pronounced that correctly?
Yes, you did, actually.
Okay, very good.
That's rare.
Mr. Coley, I want to thank you again for coming. I want to make it very clear that we're not deciding whether or not there have been violations today. We're just deciding whether or not to proceed to investigation, at which time, if we do that, you'll be working with our staff, and then this matter would come up again in the future.
Correct.
Okay, so the procedure here is the staff report will be made, and then commissioners who wish to may ask the staff the investigator questions, and then you'll be given an opportunity to say whatever you'd like to say.
Okay.
And then folks will ask you questions, and then there'll likely be a motion of some kind, and discussion on that, and then some motion will be acted upon.
Okay.
So you're clear on all that?
Yes, sir.
So very good. So let's go forward with our staff report.
Okay.
Commissioner or Investigator Whedon.
Yes.
Yes.
Chair Burke, commissioners, this is case number 19-007, preliminary review report of a complaint against a former mayor of the city of Oak Ridge, James Cooley. The complaint was filed by Judy Rowland, who is a former city councilor for the city of Oak Ridge. The complaint alleged that Mr. Cooley may have used his position during his time as mayor, may have used his position in an attempt to financially benefit Ms. Lori Patty, who is a member of Mr. Cooley's household, or the business that Ms. Patty owns, which is Postal Pharmacy. Postal Pharmacy is also a business with which she's associated for the purposes of government ethics law. So emails submitted with the complaint show that Mr. Cooley used his city email account to send emails to State Senator Floyd Prezansky and U.S. Senator Ron Wyden's offices requesting their assistance in in attempting to obtain prescription reimbursements for postal pharmacy. In this email, Mayor Cooey stated that if the prescription reimbursement issues were not resolved, that it may lead to Miss Patty's pharmacy being closed. In the email, he also indicated that the prescription reimbursement issue was having an adverse impact on the pharmacy's profit loss statement, deterring potential buyers. Another email, other information with the complaint indicated that Mayor Cooey had also contacted Lane County Commissioner Gary Williams regarding the same matter. And so the report is in your meeting book with a recommendation to investigate possible violations of the prohibited use of office provision, ORS 244-0401.
Okay, any questions for our erstwhile investigator? Okay, that being the case, Mr. Coy, if you'd like to make your statement.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Burke, and good morning, Commissioners. I just wanted, I did respond by letter, so you have the letter in the packet, I believe, but I also wanted to just touch base on it. If you're not familiar with Oak Ridge, we used to be one of the largest sawmills in the state, if not the country. We've been suffering under pert near depression for the last 40 years. Upon that, we lost a third of our jobs. Common story throughout all of rural Oregon. The pharmacy, if you don't know where Oak Ridge is, we're 40 miles east of Springfield, right at the base of the Cascade Range. Trying to recreate ourselves with tourism and that type of industry, because quite honestly, industry doesn't exist. The pharmacy is the only pharmacy in town. It's the only place where you can buy drugs, other than an over-counter aspirin or something like that at the local grocery store. So it would be a tremendous problem if we lost the pharmacy. So I did this not even thinking that, this was a conflict for my family, my household. I do live with Miss Patty. She was here with me this morning. That's not why I did this. I did this strictly to try and save the pharmacy from closing. 75% of her business is Medicare, Medicaid. And Trillium, over the last 2 years, has had issues with following their contractual agreements. And it's become a huge, huge problem. She's lost over $35,000 in being able to pull money out of her own accounts, retirement accounts, et cetera, that were not able to be reimbursed because of the time frame. You got a 90-day claim. So it was a tremendous hardship. Our lunch program at the school is 85% subsidized. Senior population is well over 55%. With our snow event we had last week, Highway 58 was closed for 5 days. The last 2 days we had escorts, but there was 3 days where nobody could get in or out. And so not having drugs available was a tremendous hardship. I mean, we had a church group that got stranded there and was able to make some calls and be able to get a prescription for one of the kids because his grandmother did not give him extra days worth. And they were there from Sunday night to Tuesday night. So being able to do this and not having that service is why I did this. And like I said, 3 weeks after I wrote this email, which basically I wrote the email, and I was out of it. The city administrator was well aware of my doing this, and he is part of, you'll see the email stream, that he was contacted by Lane County to see what was going on. So again, this was something that would be a tremendous hardship. She is, approaching retirement age and would like to sell it, but that was not the prime reason. This wasn't an insider trading thing. This was trying to keep the pharmacy open and for business, and so that our people would not have the hardship of not having their drugs. 30% of her clients are mental health issues. In many of these rural communities, it's a dire problem. And to not have that service available, she was one of the only businesses open last week because she's put in a generator and is able to open for business. And people going without their insulin, going without their meds, It's just not an option. So I didn't do it intentionally. I didn't pay attention to the ethics problem about it. Like I said, it was just, as anything, I've talked to the former mayor, I've talked to the new mayor, they would do the same thing, just to keep this business open and operating. So that's why I did what I did.
Thank you, Mr. Cody.
Yep.
I see some signs going up. I think Commissioner Sosa was first, Commissioner Sugar was second.
No, go ahead. Thank you. Mr. Cody, I just have a question. You sent it. You sent the email from your city email account. Why send it from that account as opposed to a personal account?
I just happened to be where I was when I knew the problem occurred. And, you know, I know the people that I sent it to. I mean, I know Floyd well. I know Senator Wyden's aide, June Chata, well. Commissioner Williams and I, you know, I know all three of them. It just seemed to be a more official reach out from my mayor email as opposed to my personal email. And that's why I did it. Like I said, it wasn't to benefit me. It wasn't to benefit. It was just to try and keep this business open. Because it was approaching, you know, this had been going on for almost 5 months. She had tried herself. But as a single business owner, many of you know, in a small business, it's hard. And as the only pharmacist in the business, it's hard to be able to have the time to be able to make the phone calls to follow up on where this is. And if you know anything about this process, Trillium is not the main contact. There are layers there that just get bumped and bumped and bumped. She'd also retained an attorney friend who was doing pro bono work for her, trying to get some resolution in this. And it reached a point where she was starting to ask for paperwork to be able to close. Because in this process, she has to be able to close these accounts, these contracts that she has. And it's a 90-day process. And she had already inquired with those people to be able to start the process of closing her doors.
And sir, I completely understand, and I sympathize with, yeah, with what you're talking about in terms of the pharmacy. She's the only pharmacy in town, and it's something that everyone relies on. But I personally have just some concerns. She is a member of your household, and as you said, she's not really getting a response, and then you send an email from your mayoral account to try to push the process along when the financial beneficiary of that is a member of your household. I have some concerns about that, and I think that's, even though I understand the rationale and the necessity of it, I have some discomfort with that situation.
I can understand that.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Sugar.
Thank you.
And Commissioner Keene. And then Commissioner O'Day.
Mr. Is it Cooey?
Cooey.
Cooey. I'm also from Lane County, so I just want to take a minute to thank you for taking the trip to come here, because I know the roads have been rough. And I know it's been a tough couple of weeks.
It looks like pickup sticks on Highway 58.
My parents live out there, so.
Yeah.
So here's the situation. This is like a per se violation of the ethics law. And I can't speak for everyone without their permission, but I would say I'm going to guess that we all feel the situation that you were in. And we see that as mayor, you care about the people of your community, and the well-being of this business affects the well-being of your community. But because you also have the personal connection and interest in the business, it's a violation. Yes. And there's not a lot that we can do to change that fact. Even, you know, moving ahead with an investigation only allows us to proceed with whatever next step we're going to do. But I wanted to share that with you, because I think we understand, and unfortunately it couldn't come from your official email. And I know that sending from an official email gets the folks to act faster and take action, and it was probably for the benefit of your community. So my concern, I just actually did what Commissioner Keene is doing and looked at the statute. And I couldn't see another way there. Maybe I'd be happy to be told I'm wrong. But I'll probably be moving to investigate. But I just want you to know we understand, and we also hope that this has been educational for you. In the sense that next time you'll send it from your personal email.
Well, there isn't going to be a next time. Because I ended up resigning 3 weeks after I sent the email. Just because of the politics, which is why this complaint was sent.
Yeah.
I tried to eliminate the city administrator who was not doing his job, and I got the short stick of that.
We're familiar with that piece, too. So the only question I have for our staff is whether a letter of education is something, and I always get stuck on this, is it something that we can do from this point, or do we have to move to investigate in order to do the educational piece? Because that's sort of what I feel is the right outcome here, and I always get confused about procedurally what we can do.
I do too. Let's go through the speaker list. Then, if you'd like to make a motion, if
I'd like to know what our options are, if there's any information I can.
Perhaps our executive director could enlighten us or remind us.
Chair Burke may respond to the
sure.
something she said. So first of all, I do not have a personal interest in this business. Zero. It is her business. She's had it for 20 years. I've known her for 20 years. I have zero interest in this business, other than the fact that we do live in the same household. So I just want that to be clear. I receive no income from this business.
Yeah, unfortunately, the law says assumes that you do.
And that's another thing, you know, that you know, that the ethics laws are, and you know, as someone that became a mayor and I was a former counselor of a small community, you know, we're there to serve. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, we're not prepared. We didn't go to school for this. We're there to serve and try and make our community better. So understanding all of this stuff is not something that I was interested in reading about, you know, and or learning about, truthfully. You know, I was there to serve my community, period.
Very good. Director Burson, you had something to say about the options on the table for us?
So, we go through this kind of a lot of times where you folks would like to see a letter of education at this point. With the 30-day time limit, basically preliminary review ends today, once you guys make a decision. I mean, we are unable to do any work on it after 30 days, but it's gone to this meeting. And so if you want a letter of education, we do need to move it forward, and then we would negotiate that in a settlement that you would see before us. I just wanted to be, just that last statement you said, Mr. Coey, the problem is when somebody's inside your household that has a business, you're right, the ethics laws actually tie you to that business. So it's not just a business that your household members associated, you are actually associated with that business, because like I think Commissioner Sugar was trying to point out that the law presumes that you benefit from the pluses or minuses of that business, so you benefit from any profits from that business. So that's why we're kind of here today, and I think Commissioner Sugar's right. There are technical violations. But to answer your question, for us to actually get that letter at this point, we would need to move it forward.
Okay.
And I think those educational points, like I was saying, on the business which you're associated, is something that is valuable, not just to Mr. Coey, but to maybe other members of that of this council.
Mm-hmm. You could dismiss with a letter of education, though, correct?
After
maybe we could have counsel ring in on that.
Two things. The way business with which a person is associated is defined is pretty odd. It says any private business or closely held corporation of which the person or the person's relative is associated, as opposed to the violation comes in because of the member of the household, the relationship to the member of the household herself. And yes, I have always advised that in lieu of a finding, you can issue a letter of education.
So that is one of our legal options.
And you recommend that.
Okay.
Okay. Commissioner Keene, Commissioner O'Day, yeah. Commissioner Fiskman.
Right, thank you. You know, I have a slightly different read of the prohibited use of office, but it may not be correct. I view this, well, let me ask first. You said that in your, Mr. Coey, thank you for being here, first of all.
Thank you.
And in your statement, you say the loss of the only pharmacy in this rural community So this is the only pharmacy. Do you know the next closest one?
40 miles.
40 miles, and that's hard to get to sometimes?
Highway 58. It's known as Blood Alley. We have probably 6 to 8 fatalities a year on that highway, and this past week was closed for 4 days in both directions. So, drugs had to be delivered on Tuesday by the State Patrol.
I guess I view the continued operation of the only pharmacy in a small town as part of the mayor's interest and job. That is part of your official position, is to help those critical establishments. If it were a hospital, I would think that you would have, it would be completely within your scope to make sure a hospital stays open, even if your wife was a doctor there. So I view this more as a, there's the two word here. A public official may not use or attempt to use official position or office to obtain financial gain, or avoidance of financial detriment for the person in their household or business. And I don't believe that's why you were doing it, to get financial gain. I think you were making this call because you were trying to be the mayor and make sure that your citizens had access to drugs.
Okay.
Now, it may still fall within this statute. I view this more as a conflict of interest issue that I think could have been solved by, in your letter to the official stating, hey, we need to get this pharmacy to make sure they can have access to drugs. I just want to tell you that the owner is a member of my household. And she will benefit, but that is not why I'm writing you. Because then you would be disclosing your interest. You'd be satisfying the law about actual or potential. I think it would be a potential conflict, and all you need to do is disclose. Because otherwise, I think this is a bind that means that I think a mayor should not have to use his personal email because it won't get the same attention.
Right.
He should be able to do what he did, which means my constituent can't get it to happen through her personal email. I will, through my official email. And because it's the only pharmacy, and because of the difficulty getting there, I believe it's truly part of your job. Now, if it were something else, if it were, she ran the local candy store, I don't know that it would be in your official position duties to make sure that the candy store stayed open. But so I don't believe that we should interpret our statutes in a way that makes our public officials ineffective or their constituents not able to have the full effect of their mayor. So it's a hard one. But I do believe that you were acting, I don't believe you were acting unethically or in violation of the spirit of our statutes, perhaps some of the words. And I know in other contexts I have argued and both still believe that the prohibited use of office does not have an intent element, and therefore it may be, just as Commissioner Sugar said, it's a per se violation, meaning if you violate it whether or not you intended to. But because I view this as you could not comply, I tend to think that we should not view this as a violation of ORS 244040, prohibited use of office, but rather a violation of the conflict of interest, potential conflict of interest, where you could have solved it by disclosing who you were and that this would benefit somebody in your household. Because that seems to be the way that the intent of our statutes could be satisfied. I also would support dismissing it with a letter of intent. I really don't think there's anything to be gained by investigating further.
Thank you.
You looked like you had some.
Yeah, can I respond to that?
Yeah.
Is that, I learned over the 3.5 years of being mayor that, a phone call is not quite as effective as an email. because of the paper trail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And especially in this in this regard, I felt that it was going out to three different, you know, a commissioner, a senator, and a U.S. senator, that paper trail is more important than, I mean, I could have picked all three of them up and cell phoned and called them and said, hey, and we wouldn't be here today.
Mm-hmm.
You could have still been here, but there wouldn't have been.
Well,
but,
it's not likely anybody would have known about it.
Yeah.
So, not that I'm trying to avoid something here.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you don't want to go down that road. Commissioner O'Day.
I saw that our legal counsel had...
Just one other little technical point, but I don't think I actually have to make... I thought you were going to suggest that we investigate for a conflict of interest, and there is no conflict here, so I just wanted to...
Thank you. Mr. Chair, so I'm just going to have Commissioner Keene go before me from here on out because she seems to be around. But there's a couple points I want to emphasize. I think it's a violation per se. In my legal mind, I've been wrestling with how could we, you know, not find it to be a violation. And I have a hard time getting there. But I think sometimes, you know, as public officials, you get put in a position where there's no good way forward. I wholeheartedly agree that as a mayor, if you have a healthcare facility, only one in your community, you're going to go to bat for that to ensure that the residents of your community are well served. And I was thinking, okay, what else could the mayor have done? Could he have asked another counselor to send this email? Well, he's once again using his official position to influence another elected official to advocate on behalf of the community. And I just couldn't see any way, you know, for the mayor, who's I think his actions were absolutely appropriate, if not expected, there would be no way for him to have gone forward on this matter without getting in conflict with this law. And sometimes it's going to happen. Sometimes our laws are going to capture conduct that is well-intended and otherwise appropriate, because it's hard to take these abstract rules and envision all the factual circumstances that are going to be applied to. And that's why I think we have this part of the process that we have today, which is to do a preliminary review, decide if further investigation is warranted, or otherwise dispose of the matter. And I think that in this case, I wholeheartedly agree with Commissioner Keene. I don't think this is worthy of any further investigation. And I, too, would support a motion to dismiss with a letter of education just to conclude the matter.
Commissioner Piston.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be very brief as one attorney around the table. I find it very difficult to utter the words, this is a per se violation of Oregon's ethics laws. For me, it's not. At least it's in the spirit. Thank you, Ms. Keene, for your comments. At least in the spirit of Oregon's ethics laws, we have an individual here who is two things, which is true of all public officials. He is a mayor, a public official, and he's a human being. And how those two can survive together probably relates to what you said, Ms. Keene, earlier about including a paragraph in the letter that covers you or protects you, given the relationship that exists for which there is no financial benefit. I take you at your word. All that said, I'm prepared to support the motion if one is made on a letter of on a dismissal letter of education.
Okay. Our legal counsel has wisdom to impart upon us.
You can't dismiss and have a letter of education. You can proceed to investigation, and we could proceed to a settlement, a letter of education, and no finding of violation. So that might inform you.
Mr. Chair, if that's true, that's a continues to be, is, and continues to be. A huge level of frustration for me because if we move to conduct an investigation here, as is the case many times, that gets misconstrued in local communities when such is announced because it's tantamount to, quote, guilt, unquote. And so if there was something short of that, and maybe our rules ought to in the future, we ought to figure out if we can, within the law, adopt a rule that would allow such action. And that's a future issue. So, thank you.
Mr. Mason.
This is going to be really random. But, so my great-grandfather grew up in Oak Ridge, Ray Young. And he actually worked at that sawmill that you were talking about. And he actually helped build 58. And as I'm talking to, or I'm listening to him, oh gosh, I think I'm so unfavorable in his position that I'm biased.
And so I'm going to probably abstain from this vote just because of that.
Punting.
I'm not punting. I'm happy to take a vote, but I think it's probably appropriate based on I'm so much in his favor that I probably shouldn't vote. And it feels like this is going to be a close way. But if I could ever encourage my commissioners, I would encourage them to dismiss this.
Commissioner Sugar.
All right.
We do need a motion.
I move to dismiss and not investigate.
Okay.
And then I have another motion after that.
Okay. There is a motion to dismiss. Is there discussion on the motion? Commissioner O'Day.
I'd just like to add, sometimes the process itself is instructive and educational, and so I support the motion.
Okay, very good. Additional discussion. Okay, we'll go to a roll call vote. An aye vote will be a vote to dismiss the case. Nay will be to not dismiss the case.
Commissioner O'Day.
Aye.
Commissioner Sugar.
Aye.
Commissioner Silva?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiska?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Abstain.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes 8-0 with one abstention.
Commissioner Sugar?
I would like to. I don't know if it requires a motion, so someone can tell me if it does. If it does, I move that to direct the staff to send Mr. Coey a letter explaining how the ethics laws impacted his actions and what he could have done, or what would be recommended that he do in the future.
Okay. Not sure if that requires a motion or not, but our executive director has something to say about that.
Yeah, I think that we're happy to send Mr. Coey a letter, but the case is over. It was over at the vote, and so Mr. Coey can't. I mean, we can send anybody a letter in the state of Oregon. Mr. Coey can throw it away. He can shine it for the people that actually complained against him. I'm not sure, but I just want to be clear that I don't think we can take a vote in executive session for me to send a letter to somebody that does not have a matter before us.
Yeah, I think that's probably
so. Okay. I'm happy to send a letter out. I think the case ended upon the 8-0-1 vote.
Commissioner Mason.
For the record, too, he is a former mayor. Mm-hmm. Correct. So it's probably more unnecessary than a typical sitting elected official, right? For that,
I think it was pointed out by Commissioner O'Day that education has happened on this day.
Do you feel educated?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Have a good day. I felt educated when I got the complaint.
You know, we need to get the pop and circumstance music on a tape loop here, so when someone feels educated, you can press the button. You know, Commissioner O'Day.
What I was going to say has been covered. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Have a great afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Chris.
Okay.
I have a question for our council.
Yes. Yes.
For procedural question. Okay. If we wanted to change either our rules or our procedures or whatnot to allow us to vote for a letter in this stage, what would be required? Is it a statutory change?
Do you think we don't have jurisdiction?
Yes, I think we
are. We still need to because what if somebody were to challenge us? Say, I don't want this letter of education. You guys wouldn't have any authority to do that. We wouldn't have their.
What if we don't like your answer or your answer?
Yeah, well, my answer doesn't mean anything. My answer is just opinion
here.
Your
answer? I like yours. My favorite attorney on this.
I want to know, like, why can't we just send someone a letter? Situation. Okay. Because I don't know.
Did you hear what
Kristen
said?
Gunther?
The
favorite of
a
guy.
Yeah.
On that issue.
I'm only looking at it.
Okay, backtrack.
I had to look at my watch to see whether I could say good morning or good afternoon. It's still morning.
Our lunch hasn't come in yet.
Yeah. I saw your lunches come in. They look very nice.
We'll get there. Okay. Who are we waiting for?
Dave.
Yeah, Morrell. Right. Okay.
We're still on the record, by the way.
Good to see you, Tom. Good to see you, too. Just looking behind me, sir. I think I'll fit. Sorry about that. Okay. I just found out that my email's been hacked. Oh, well. That's okay. In 300 years, who's going to care? Okay, I think everybody's back. Okay, we're still in executive session, and now we're going to deal with the matter of Mike Gunter. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Gunter, yes.
Gunter. Thank you very much. And Mr. Gunter, I want to make it very clear that we're not finding violations or no violations today. We're just deciding whether or not to proceed with an investigation.
Okay.
And the procedure that we'll have here will be that staff will provide a report. Commissioners will have an opportunity to question staff. Then you or your legal counsel may then make a statement, and there may or may not be questions for you.
Okay.
And then supposedly there will be some sort of motion which will be discussed and then acted upon. And we'll proceed along those lines.
Okay,
so,
great. Thank you.
Let's begin with our staff report.
Chair Burke, Commissioner Susan Myers. Mike Gunter is a former school board member for the Riverdale School District in Southwest Portland. He's also owner of a consulting firm called the Gunter Group. The complaint in this case alleged that Mr. Gunter failed to disclose actual or potential conflicts of interest arising from his firm's contracts with Portland Public Schools when, as a member of the Riverdale's board, he participated in discussions and then voted to approve a lease settlement agreement between Riverdale and PPS. During the course of the preliminary review, I reviewed Mr. Gunter's the Gunter Group's contracts with PPS and the lease settlement agreement between the two school districts. The Gunter Group provides project management and consulting services to clients in Oregon and Nevada. Mr. Gunter's wife, Ashley, is the lead responsible for the firm's work with PPS. That work is primarily in the school district's human resources and finance departments. It does not include work on the lease agreement with Riverdale. In terms of Riverdale, in 2001, Riverdale entered a lease with PPS for the real property on which its high school stands. In 2017, PPS initiated an arbitration case in order to resolve a dispute over PPS wanting to increase the lease payments. Riverdale, as part of the process, I think both PPS and Riverdale soon realized that arbitration is lengthy and expensive. So as part of the process, they engaged an outside consultant, C.J. Sylvester, to negotiate on behalf of Riverdale. The settlement agreement was unanimously approved by the Riverdale board on November 26th. Mike Gunter did not disclose any conflict of interest prior to voting on the lease settlement agreement. In this case, it does not appear that such a disclosure would have been necessary. For purposes of a conflict of interest analysis, PPS is not a business with which Mr. Gunter is associated because it is not a business. The Gunter Group is a business, but the lease settlement agreement would not appear to financially benefit the Gunter Group because neither he nor any business with which he is associated would or could obtain a pecuniary benefit from his vote. It does not appear that Mike Gunter had an actual or potential conflict of interest to disclose. For that reason, we are recommending that the matter be dismissed.
Okay. Very well. Are there any questions of staff?
Okay, I see none. So, Mr. Gunther, if you or your counsel would like to make a statement, please do.
Well, good morning, everyone. Mr. Chair, John DiLorenzo on behalf of Mr. Gunther. We're here primarily to answer questions. I think it's important that anyone who has a matter that comes before you actually appear so you can have opportunities to further inquire in case you think there's anything missing from the staff analysis. Although I can say that I think the staff analysis speaks for itself, I personally do not believe that there was any potential or actual conflicts of interest. And I don't see, given what I reviewed, how Mr. Gunter's firm or Mr. Gunter could have possibly incurred a pecuniary advantage off of a vote that was wholly unrelated to his business.
Okay, very good. Before we go further, Commissioner Edwards, have you been able to hear the testimony thus far?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good, good.
Thank you so much for checking in.
Yeah, I never trust these gizmos. Sometimes they work, but sometimes they don't. So, all right, very well. Are there any questions of Mr. Gunter or Mr. DiLorenzo? Okay, I see. Yes, Commissioner Sugar.
Thank you for coming and waiting all morning to talk to us, and we do appreciate that, and I'll be supporting the staff recommendation.
Okay. Unless there are additional questions, I'll entertain a motion on this item.
Move to dismiss.
Commissioner Mason moves to dismiss the case of 19-008 ESM with respect to Mike Gunter. Is there discussion on the motion? Yes, Commissioner Fiskman.
Mr. Chair, I don't have to say this probably, but out of an abundance of caution, I would simply indicate for the record that Mr. DiLorenzo, at one point in his storied past, was my firm's counsel, and that won't prevent me from voting today in my judgment unless our own counsel says I have to abstain. Thank you.
Very good. Mr. DiLorenzo, you've been almost everyone's counsel at one point or another in the last several years, or the last many years. Okay, very well. Unless there's additional discussion, we'll go to a roll call vote. An aye vote will be a vote to dismiss. A nay vote will be one not to dismiss.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sugar?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Mr. King?
Aye.
Chair Brook?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for the rest of your day.
Thank you for being here. Coming in person. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
It's another time.
Say that every time.
Theme of the day.
I just always like that in the opening statement.
Yeah.
That's important that I show up. Josh knows that. And Josh knows that I'm a
yogi.
Both ears were open. With both ears.
That's why I paid him so much.
Let's see. All right.
We have people outside on other matters. I'm not sure we have any executive session matters or not.
Do we? There's one more executive session. These are combined.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
So, very well.
That's fine.
Okay. And so,
who's that? I don't know.
Hi. What is your name?
I apologize. My name is Luke Reese. I represent the 5 board members of the Wauwapa County School District.
Okay.
The reason for my apology is I forgot to give Ms. Myers a call to let her know that I would be here. So.
Okay, very well. Without objection, although we will have to decide on each of these items individually, from what I understand, this is stemming from the same matter, and so we can discuss them all together.
Right.
Unless nobody... Okay, very well. Okay, so... I want to make the same statement I've made to other folks. This is not a decision to find violations or not. It's a discussion as to whether or not we're going to proceed to an investigation to determine if there are violations or not. Staff will make a report. Commissioners will have the opportunity to ask staff questions. You can make whatever statement you would like to make.
commissioners can ask you questions, and then there'll be some motion or other made, discussion, and then a vote. Are you okay with that?
That's wonderful.
Okay,
thanks.
Very good. Let's proceed with staff report.
Report, commissioners. Items, as you noted, items 52 to 56 are preliminary reviews for the board members of the Enterprise School District. All five of the reviews are the same, and for purposes of summary, I'll group them together. The complaint in this case alleged that during five executive sessions held in November, December, and January, the school district board considered the case of a student athlete who wanted the district to submit a hardship eligibility request to the Oregon School Athletic Association. According to the complaint, the board failed to cite proper statutory authority for its executive sessions, discussed the student's complaint against the athletic director without providing him notice or an opportunity to request an open hearing, and then voted in executive session. Looking at the agendas and minutes for these meetings, it appears that with the exception of the issue involving the athletic director, the school district board did cite the proper authority for its exec session. The items that they were discussing involved student identifiable information, which is exempt from public disclosure under FERPA, federal law. They cited 192.6602F to discuss matters exempt from public disclosure. In terms of the issue of voting, in the November 14th public meeting, the board voted to send a letter to the student's family. At the following meeting, in December 3rd, they went into executive session where they were considering language, the draft of the letter. While in executive session, the board voted on whether to send the draft letter as it was currently written. While the respondent's attorney characterizes the vote as a poll, the minutes from the executive session identify it as a roll call vote, and each member's vote was recorded. Should the commission move this matter to investigation, we would seek to determine whether this roll call vote constituted a final action prohibited by 192.6606. Finally, with respect to the athletic director, in the December 3rd and January 7th meetings, the board cited subsection I to discuss an employment-related performance. During the December 3rd session, it appears the board may have discussed the student's complaints against the athletic director and or discussed the athletic director's performance. However, the board did not appear to provide him with notice or an opportunity to request the hearing. Respondents admit discussing the athletic director but deny that the discussions rose to the level of a formal evaluation requiring such notice. Should the commission move this matter to investigation, we would seek to determine the nature and extent of their discussion of the athletic director in these two meetings. For those reasons, we are recommending the commission open an investigation of this matter.
Okay, are there any questions of staff? Okay, seeing none, if you would like to make a statement, now's your big chance.
The only statement that I'd like to make is to express that these board members intend to fully cooperate with any investigation that the board deems appropriate. These folks are over in Enterprise, so logistically it's a bit of a challenge, and that's one of the reasons they hired me at local in Salem to help facilitate that information. Ms. Meyer's summary of the situation is accurate, which is especially impressive because the complaint entails a lot of information that is material to a dispute going on in the Enterprise community, but not material to the ethics complaint. So we appreciate her narrowing on the issues. We think she did so accurately. There is a lack of information in the meeting minutes that would be helpful, we acknowledge, and I think the best way to clear that up would be some interviews with the folks who were there, which I'm happy to coordinate.
Yeah, beautiful part of the state, too, by the way.
I won't be disappointed if I have to take a trip over there to help do this, but hopefully we can avoid that.
Very well. Commissioner Keene.
Thank you. Mr. Reese, are you the city attorney?
I'm not, Your Honor. I'm not. I apologize. No, I'm not. I'm an attorney in private practice at a firm here in Salem. I represent school districts. I, in all candor, haven't represented this school district, so my experience with these board members is my first experience with Enterprise.
Thank you. Do you know if they sought or relied on legal advice in going in the executive sessions?
They did not. This is a volunteer board like most are. They've received trainings and they continue to receive trainings. Their perspective on this is an opportunity to gain more education and make sure that they are doing everything absolutely correct. There is not an attorney who was present at the meetings we've discussed. I believe they have had somebody who's guiding them through some ongoing issues that would be related to this.
So they don't have a city attorney on staff or that they pay who is in private practice in Enterprise?
They don't. They are a member of the Oregon School Boards Association, so they have access to counsel through that group, and I believe that's who's helping them with some of their meeting issues and trainings now.
Okay, so it would be helpful probably to see if they sought legal advice about whether they could go into executive session.
Okay. Additional questions?
Okay.
Commissioner Sugar.
There's training also available through this organization, so it doesn't cost anything. So, and that can be done by sort of remote means if needed. The other thing is I do appreciate that they have hired you to come here today and appreciate that you waited to come talk to us. So please pass that on. And they can always participate in our meetings by phone if they do want to be present without having to make the trip.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I would like to make a motion that we move to investigate this allegation and as to each of the
yes, I think we need to vote on. Yeah, I need to vote on separately.
Make my motion as to all of them.
Okay.
Vote separately. Does that work?
Well, Commissioner Sugar, if I understood you correctly, you want to begin by voting on the matter of number 52, Kate Fent, as to whether or not to proceed with an investigation. And I believe your motion is to proceed.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
So that's the motion. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, we'll go to a roll call vote.
Commissioner King?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sugar?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Grissom?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. The chair will entertain an identical motion for item 53.
So moved.
So moved by Commissioner Fiskum. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll go to roll call vote.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner King?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sugar?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Entertain a motion with regard to item 54.
So moved.
Okay. Moved by Commissioner Keene. Discussion? None. We'll go to roll call vote.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Mr. Fiskum?
Aye.
Mr. King?
Aye.
Mr. Mason?
Aye.
Mr. O'Day?
Aye.
Mr. Sugar?
Aye.
Mr. Sosa?
Aye.
Mr. Starr?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, entertain a motion for item 55.
So moved.
So moved by Commissioner Sosa. Discussion? Seeing none, let's go to a vote.
Mr. Starr?
Aye.
Mr. Edwards?
Aye.
Mr. Fiskum?
Aye.
Mr. Keene?
Aye.
Mr. Mason?
Aye.
Mr. O'Day?
Aye.
Mr. Sugar?
Aye.
Mr. Sosa?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Chair will entertain a motion with respect to item 56.
So moved.
Commissioner Sosa so moves. Discussion? None. We'll go to a vote.
Mr. Sosa?
Aye.
Mr. Starr?
Aye.
Mr. Edwards?
Aye.
Mr. Fiskum?
Aye.
Mr. King?
Aye.
Mr. Mason?
Aye.
Mr. O'Day?
Aye.
Mr. Sugar?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. There we are. Our staff will be in touch with you. And that concludes our executive session, so far as I can tell. So we will close the executive session.